welcome to the Unofficial Controller Podcast, your weekly gaming podcast, episode 195. It's that time of year again. The Ponce is 2023. If you want an award show, you could do far better than this one. With me, George, and this week joined by RGT, Bobby, and Seb, a veritable full house. These gentlemen are Game of the Year contenders to my turkey. It's not even turkey of the year. It's just lukewarm turkey, sort of thing that's going to give you some sort of weird gut rot. Gentlemen, how is it going and how are you doing? Let's start off by welcoming, let me check my contract. Yes, Triple S, you back?
Yes, man, it's been a minute. How have y'all been, man? It's been too long.
Yeah, well, now you're friends with Jeff Keighley. Ain't got a lot of time for us. I saw you fist bumping at the Game Awards show.
No. I was on the outside looking in at the Game Awards. They were like, maybe next year you'll be there. But I was just like, not this year, unfortunately. So I was at the after party of the after party, more so than the Game Awards itself.
I don't even know what that would even look like, but it sounds like it's got a couple of prawn vol-au-vents and a couple of glasses of eggnog. Okay.
You have me at a loss. I don't know what provolone is.
I ain't eating no cinnamon and man and roll.
Yeah, I thought when you dropped the vol-au-vent in there, this is going to be awkward for the American.
That's not how you eat a prawn vol-au-vent.
I was really wondering. I was like, I have no idea what that is.
The small, delicate pastry with a couple of very small prawns and some Marie sauce in there.
Huh.
It's a bit of a Christmas delicacy. It's a little bit like at Christmas, if you haven't had one of them, or if you haven't feasted on Kerikatona's rotten prawn ring, is it even December, bro? Bobby, if you ask me who Kerikatona is, I'd probably be better off explaining what a prawn vol-au-vent is. Bobby, welcome back. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm all right.
The American office in full effect. It's good to see you both. Just got caught off there out the corner of my eye. I saw what looked like RGT choking on a prawn vol-au-vent. Very dry, but very wet in the middle. Sort of thing you would like. A little bit of a fishy smell.
Takes the moisture right out.
Wow.
I don't want to let the Americans go because it's not often I get time with them. But RGT, I'm going to have to give you a little bit of the airwave. How are you?
I'm all right now, yeah. Thanks for that intro.
What do you mean now?
Well, because I was having a bit of a laughing crisis while you were talking to the Americans with all your Kerikatona and prawn ring charades.
Oh, yes. Well, I wouldn't like to do that as charades, RGT, because...
Oh, my God.
How would you do Kerry?
Anyway, should we just get on to saying hello to each other?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Bit tired, busy work, but good. Great to have Seb back on. Great to have us all here, all four of us.
Yeah. It's like the UCP family reunion. Let's not let it go this long next time. And are you busy? You're doing all your things in America. You're courting Jeff Keighley. You're carrying Hideo Kojima around in a wicker bed chair. Me and RGT putting shifts in at the local Costco equivalent in the UK just to make ends meet.
Do y'all have a Costco equivalent in the UK?
Well, we must have.
Okay. Okay.
They have Lidl, bro.
Yeah, what's that? Lidl.
What's a Lidl?
It's a huge German supermarket. Massive.
Mm. Oh.
I thought you guys had that one in there.
I thought Lidl's was the little version of Lidl's, which is like a small family-run shop ran by the remains of the Jeremy Beadle family.
Oh, no. I'm not sure if that is, but
I think we're all speaking different languages today.
Yeah. I first was introduced to a Lidl in Greece, so I assumed it was a European thing.
Yeah, we have them. Yeah, they're big here.
You can buy like a steak, and then you can buy like slippers, like 5 miles down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they have everything.
Mm-hmm. Or a knockoff RGT,
even tires,
toy, TGR.
Mm-hmm. If you pay attention to aisle 9. By the dry cookery section, you can sometimes see Stingray.
The Ray.
What? The mighty Ray. Okay, well, it's a bit quiet on the game release front this week, so we're going to do something a little bit different when we get to Ray. But let's not mess around. I've burnt the news in Sacrifice. It was a bit like a Burning Man festival, to be honest. I gathered all the news up and just set it on fire. We ain't got any time for that. But what we have got time for, gentlemen, is what you've been playing. And I'm going to close my eyes and roll a dice and ask Bobby.
Well, I got the platinum for Diablo 4, finally.
Thank goodness for that.
That's done. And then I got the platinum for Lords of the Fallen, which was great. So I've been playing those two. I don't know what I'm going to start next, but I have a bunch of unopened games, and I also asked more games from Santa. So I don't know what I'm going to open up next, but I got those two out the way. So that was good.
Okay. Anything? So you don't know what's going to creep into your rotation next, but you're happy to have a few new heavy scalps under your armpit.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
That looks good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's roll the dice again. Seb, what have you been... Oh, I'm intrigued here now. Seb, what have you been playing?
Oh, man. It's been a while. So, yeah, I guess since my absence, I've been playing quite a few games. I tallied this year up, and I have rolled credits this year on over 50 games. 50 games. So it has been a whirlwind of like good games, bad games, and everything in between. But I think lately I've been playing this little game that a lot of people have been talking about called Dave the Diver. The Diver. There's
If we had news, it would have been that the Dave the Diver and Dredge DLC is ready to drop.
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Two games, by the way. Like, both of those I've actually beaten this year. But, like, yeah, it's a match made in heaven. Dave the Diver, Dredge, both boat games, both fishing games, both have that sauce, the magic secret sauce that you kind of want to see with personality in video games. Yeah. They're good times.
Is that the Marie Rose sauce, do you think? Like a combination of ketchup and salad cream?
Yeah, I would probably
say. A dollop of mayo?
Yeah, with a little bit of Good Burger sauce mixed in with that.
Wow. Oh, yeah, bro.
The ultimate upgrade.
Good Burger sauce is phenomenal.
Yeah. With that Good Burger sauce in between, and you pretty much got it made right there.
Wow, okay. Well. Let me slather up the inner thighs of RGT with some good burger sauce. Should make a pretty interesting meal out of his chicken thighs. RGT.
Chicken thighs?
Wow, this is going to be a long show.
RGT, I've just come up for air slathered in what looks like a pink sauce. I don't even know. What have you been playing?
A bit limited this week. We're very busy with work, so I've been playing a bit more EAFC 24. Started Assassin's Creed Mirage. So I've basically played the prologue and a few bits of that. But I know it's a shorter game, but I found with that I played the prologue, quite liked the prologue. It's only about 50 minutes long, 45, 50 minutes long. But when
That's
you look
a long
at
prologue,
it is. But when you look at when I turned it off after doing a prologue, it said I've played 40% of the game. What? So I was like, wow, 40% on the prologue.
Hang on a minute. What game is this again?
Are you listening to me?
I've been laughing.
Absolutely not. You can see his eyes blaze over like a cinema.
Giggling away. He does this every week when I start.
Every time
about
I look
games.
Up, I see Bobby's gone. And then I look down and I try and compose myself. And then I look up again and he's gone. So I can't even look him in the eye anymore.
Right. Behave and listen. Okay.
Yes.
Right. Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Oh, of course. That, yeah.
But I was saying, I was a bit concerned that the prologue is 40% of the game, which I found quite...
That's wild.
That's mad. So I haven't played some more this week, so I don't know how long it will last. Well, I think most people said it's about 20 hours long, but I'm debating whether that will be. But anyway, we'll see. And then last night, up till then, I'd only played those two games, but last night my brother-in-law texted me, said, oh, I've got a night off. I haven't got to go into work to fancy some games in the shed. So we played... Lynx Golf on the original Xbox 2004. I tell you what, that game looks good. I play it for a CRT. I'm not using any upscaling HD or anything. I play it on a CRT, but that looks really good, that game, graphically. bit different to your Tiger Woods's. It's a bit more sim rather than arcade. But had great fun. Went around the golf on air. That was brilliant. And then
Do you have to walk between the holes?
No. No, but it's that. It must have been one of the first ones to use the right analog. Left analog is your swing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Left analog swing, and then your right analog is what you spin. So once you start mastering that, it's quite good. Yeah, I really enjoyed that, actually. That's a good game. We'll play some more of that over Christmas. Once we had a round on air, we went on to Gauntlet Legends on the original Xbox. Two-player.
Oh, a classic.
Yeah, that's nice. That's dope.
Right, well, while Seb's busy stuffing envelopes with potential winners and losers of the Ponzi's, because it's to the wire, this. We've got some last-minute submissions, and he's in there. He's courting the devs. He's getting the information. He's preparing the little stickers they can put on their boxes. It's probably only right and proper I tell you that I've gone a full week without playing Anno.
What?
What?
The addiction is broken? What? Oh, no. Oh, no.
I've been playing a lot of Wrestling Empire again. Absolutely loving that.
Must have put some hours in on that, haven't you?
I've got my Nintendo wrap-up, and 18 north of 80 hours on Wrestling Empire looks like a significant investment of time to me.
I don't even play wrestling games, but that's even the way you keep explaining that. It's really tempted me to dive into that, you know?
Yeah, I have it in my shopping cart on the Switch.
Yeah, I'm not even into wrestling at all. Not interested, but that game, you're intriguing me with this.
If Seb doesn't own this, he's in trouble.
Steam Deck, game loaded it.
Got it on Steam Deck.
Mm-hmm. But to be fair, I have not played very much of this because there's been five wrestling games that came out this year?
Yeah, well, this one's been out for a while, but it's the only good one. So a little bit of that. may not be influenced by the fact we've got M. Dickey, one man developing animal, coming on the show in January. whether he was or not, I'd still be playing it. The other thing I've been playing, and I have to confess, I've installed this game more times than... a lot. And for some reason, this time round, and only this time round, am I enjoying it and extracting value from it, is Grand Theft Auto 5. I've never really clicked with it before, but this time around, for some reason, I'm clicking with it. I'm enjoying
it. Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
To get you to play that before. And you've sort of
So many times. GTA 4 will always have this place in my heart. And every time I play GTA 5, it feels like a bit of pretender to the crown. It don't feel...
Feels like the pretender? Five? Yeah, were you missing my cousin Nico? Can you come over? You want to go bowling?
Well, no, four.
Was that what you were missing?
I was missing that, yeah. I actually, the way the cars handle, the physics, the interactions, the city, everything to me feels better in four. I don't think I'm alone in this controversial opinion, but it's one I'm willing to court, nay, marry.
San Andreas is the best.
I will not.
San Andreas is really good, though.
I think it's better than all of them.
I think four just trumps it for me. Mm. And then now five is lingering around the bathroom stall, looking like he might want to come in. That's all I'm going to say. So I've been enjoying that. I don't think I need to bore you with what makes that game so interesting. But for some reason, this time it's clicked. With all that said and done, there's been a bit of a whip round in the Discord, and I've got some money together to stop me singing the Boone theme tune. But I'm going to throw that money in the bin. I don't need it. RGT,
I'll have to stop you singing it. I have no hidden gem this week.
RGT, yeah.
I have no hidden gem.
It's like the Lone Ranger.
I think my microphone's broken. There's no hidden gem.
Riding on down.
Yep, there's still in one.
Bring hidden gems to me.
Not today, I'm not.
You've got a book full of them. Just read out one of Scott's from last week. RGT, yeah.
I'm sorry.
He's like the lone...
Yeah.
Ranger. You find down the back of a Ford Falcon scene. Was that a Jolly Rancher? I don't know anymore. I don't even know what day it is. So you've let me down. Have we stalled enough for what?
Oh, absolutely.
So you're ready for the Ponzi's?
I'm absolutely ready for the Ponzi's. Are you ready for the Ponzi's?
Well, let me just wipe the taste of disappointment out of my mouth. Because I wanted a hidden gem. He's had Aquanauts Holiday for enough time to have recommended that. He's chosen not to. This is the sort of character we're dealing with here. Okay.
Get used to it, buddy.
Well, it's that time. I'm going to hand the microphone over to MC for the evening. You know him as Seb. I know him as Seb. He is the MC, the host with the most. Take it away, sir.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the 2023 Ponzi Awards, hosted by yours truly, Seb, Triple S, Sebastian, as I've been known in the streets by my family as well. So anyways, I hope you all are having a very happy holiday season. This has been, you know, a whirlwind event where I've had all these guys, and myself included, give our top 10 games of the year. And then I assign those a ranking based on a score based on the ranking that they've given me, 1 through 10. So without further ado,
let's get it was started. 1 to 10.
1 to 10, yeah.
One being the number one, or
your number one game gets 10 points.
Okay.
Your number
I
one
made a big mistake.
I
thought I made a big mistake, but we didn't.
Okay. No, your number one game gets 10 points and then it trickles down from there. So your number 10 game gets 1 point and then everything in the middle is associated its point value. Mm-hmm. So without further ado, we have some controversy here this year. Ooh.
I love controversy.
Yeah, we have some controversy. But to solve it, I have a solution here. Okay. But before we get to the controversy, our number 10 games, we have a two-way tie. Ooh. And I'm here to allow the two-way tie. Because there's not too many games fighting for that number 10 spot, two-way tie is okay. The two-way tie is between The Gardens Between and Hi-Fi Rush, both having 3 points.
Ooh.
Both have 3 points. I, of course, nominated Hi-Fi Rush, and RGT was the one who nominated The Gardens Between.
Hmm.
All right, so our number 9, and this is where we're getting...
Just a moment there. So who went with Gardens Between? RGT?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, RGT, why?
I think it was Jim's got me onto this game, and it was just I liked the story of it. I liked the setting. I thought it was, as I always say, something a little bit different. I liked the mechanics of it, and I just thought it was a great little indie game, and I thought it was really good, really well made, plays really well, and I think it deserved a spot on there. When I went sort of back for all the games I played, I thought, yeah, that's got to be in there, I think. I really enjoyed that game.
Okay, and Seb, Hi-Fi Rush, you picked this. I mean, enough's been said about that. Probably, yeah, sure. I don't want to get controversial, but maybe Xbox's best exclusive this year?
I don't think that's even controversial, if I'm being honest. I'm like, you had Hi-Fi Rush, Starfield, Forza Motorsport, Minecraft Legends, and Redfall. Hi-Fi Rush is the one with universal acclaim, with the best story, best art style, and it's the only one that is universally critically acclaimed. Starfield is very mixed, and the other ones are very Redfall is what it was. It was an absolute disaster. And then the other ones were very niche games. So I would easily say Hi-Fi Rush is the best Xbox exclusive this year.
First bombshell. Xbox exclusive game of the year winner. Number 10 in the Ponzi's.
Yeah, we're spicy. Where's the spicy meatball this year?
Okay, it's trapped between RGT's prawn-slathered thighs. That's where the envelope is. Ray's obviously been sneaking these around. Let me wipe the sauce off. Hand it to you, Seb. What's 9 on the list?
Number nine, we have a four-way tie. Ooh. A four-way tie.
What the hell? If any one of these is Anno, you're done.
Mm-hmm. No. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. With a four-way tie, I'm having a rule here. If the person who nominated the game is also the person who has who's involved with a tie. He must eliminate one of his games. And that way we narrow it down a bit. And and then from there we have a discussion based on who gets the spot or we're okay with the tie. So RGT nominated Axiom Verge, and Axiom Verge got 4 points based on his nomination. I nominated two games called Doom to Hell and then Horizon Forbidden West Burning Shores, which was also nominated by George. Then we have Vampire Survivors, which was also nominated by George. So here's the thing. According to the rule, I'm going to eliminate Doom to Hell. So I will only leave Horizon Forbidden West as my sole nomination as the number 9 spot.
Okay, then I shall delete Horizon Burning Shores from mine. Therefore, leaving Vampire Survivors on the table with your Burning Shores and whatever else is left.
And Axiom Verge. So
Axiom Verge is discounted because it came out when Jesus was birthed 2023 years ago. So
still a game he played this year, though. Still a game he played this year.
Okay, in a fight between Vampire Survivors, Horizon Burning Shores, and the little known 2023 hot gem that is Axiom Verge, RGT, defend your honor now.
Axiom Verge, I think, deserves to stay in because it's a fantastic game made by one man. I know I've only got around to playing it this year, but technically brilliant. Great level design, great graphics. I love the style of pixel art. And I think, like I say, it deserves staying just for one man's efforts in one game.
Okay. Well, I choose Vampire Survivors because...
Second Vampire Survivors. That's probably one of my most played games this year.
Vampire Survivors, Horizon Burning Shores was good, but it was a little bit like the Frozen Wilds DLC. It was a lot harder. Everything was Apex. There's an interesting story that probably hasn't sat as well with me as time's gone on. It's kind of got a bit lost in my memory. Still an impressive PS5 exclusive in and of itself, but Vampire Survivors, such a fun little indie darling. Very, very simple, but high levels of gameplay, especially once it clicks and you work out what the rhythm is and what you're meant to be doing. It actually becomes enjoyable to stay on and on and on and on in that game. Therefore, ergo, if we had to pick one winner, I don't upset you, RGT, and
it's gotta be Vampire Survivors, right? Because I'm right there with you, George. I'm picking. That's probably one of my most played games this year. And it had a new adventure mode this year that is absolutely phenomenal.
The game is one that deserves to be played. And I think it will stay in the collective consciousness way longer than Burning Shores. So for that reason...
I apologize just for this RGT, by the way. I really do apologize for this.
Mumsy!
I'm laughs and smiles now, but the gloves will come off when I have to fight to the death for MLB and Anno. I'll tell you now.
All right, they'll be getting voted for.
Are you writing these down, RGT? Because you've got to publish these on the Discord.
Oh, sorry, I'll just get said to send them to.
Yeah, I have a copy of all this. So
wow.
All right, so Vampire Survivors moves on is our official ninth game of the year.
This might be our most sort of fashionable Ponzi's we've ever done.
This is where the blood is going to be drawn here. At number 8 we have a five-way tie.
Wow. How's that even possible?
But okay, so let's see. Brotato was nominated by RGT. It was his 8th ranked game. Dredge showed up on mine, was my nomination. Bobby nominated Hogwarts Legacy.
Interesting.
This odd game, Kayak VR, was nominated by George.
Yeah.
And then Bobby also nominated Super Mario RPG. So to kind of, I guess it's our first things first, we have two nominations by Bobby. Bobby, which one of your children are you getting rid of? Is it Hogwarts Legacy or is it Super Mario RPG?
Super Mario RPG.
Okay. That
wow. Bloodthirsty.
Bloodthirsty. Super Mario RPG proved to be the middle child.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right, yeah, so, we got to go.
All right. So we got Super. So we got Brotato, Dredge, Hogwarts Legacy, and Kayak VR remaining. Before we get down to the, to business here, though, I will say Hogwarts Legacy was not just nominated by Bobby. It was also nominated as RGT's 10th game. And it was also George's 10th game. So let me throw this out there.
If we make this section... If we eliminate Kayak VR by making it the best VR game of the UCP award ceremony, we can sit him on a separate plinth.
Okay.
We can put a crown on him and we can call him the UCP VR title of 2023.
Okay.
And that leaves us...
By default.
Well, that's VR yeah. gone.
Well, that's in discounted, but that's VR ticked.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the only game I played on VR that even slightly wowed me that wasn't already
came out.
Okay, so we've eliminated Super Mario RPG and Kayak VR.
While also awarding a prize.
Mm-hmm.
So all that right. leaves us with Brotato.
Brotato, and Dredge, and then Hogwarts Legacy.
Ooh.
Here's the thing. I do love Dredge, but I do acknowledge that three people on this panel nominated Hogwarts Legacy.
Mm, so therefore, yeah.
let's do it.
It's gone through on a technicality. It was to summarize.
I'm a snake. I'm a slithering snake.
It was a slithering snake of a game. Came in, stole our hearts early doors. We asked the question at the beginning of the year, is it the best licensed game of 2023? Great episode. Go back and check that one out. I guess there's probably another licensed game in here. So it didn't win that accolade as the Ponzi's wash out. It didn't win that. But I certainly think it certainly resonated. And now finally limping onto the Switch, I think we can safely give that our eighth position. Or are we still only on
there? Yeah, it's eighth. It's eighth.
That's fair.
Okay.
A Dredge, that's a good spot. That's a good
great
spot.
Great game. If there aren't any higher up indies than this, then it will win Indie of the Year. And probably rightfully so. We'll throw it in a pot with Vampire Survivors.
That's an indie?
Yeah. Dredge is an indie.
Oh, Dredge. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think if y'all, it's one of those things, if we probably would have all universally played the same games, like it might have probably ended up in the top 10. But, you know, potato, at least it's not Brotato at this point.
I thought you were building up to that, Brotato.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, that's eighth place. A couple of awards dished out there.
Seventh place. We're going to get a little ugly here because we have a three-way tie between Blasphemous 2, Red Dead Redemption, and The Quarry.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Now, Red Dead Redemption... specified as the Switch port.
As the Switch port, nominated by George, by the way.
Hmm.
Wow.
And you moaned at me about Axiom Verge. Wow.
Yeah. The Switch port and the remaster was released in 2023.
Yeah.
Was this your first time experiencing Red Dead, though?
No.
It wasn't, but it was my first time experiencing Red Dead on the go.
On the go.
Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but I'm just curious, as is this the only Switch game?
No.
No, not even close. No.
Oh, okay. No. Okay.
RGT and George were going to fight for the Switch.
Yeah, that's true.
Stripped to the waist, oiled up in old car oil. We will fight to the death.
I think me and Bobby were about ready to bury the Switch and move on. But yeah, y'all are just dragging that thing along.
Yeah, well, to be fair, once you've tried the Switch and the many contenders that try and rock up to take its crown, you realize that the poor man's Switch, a.k.a. the Steam Deck, ain't got a thing.
Actually, I'm thinking I'm going to buy a Steam Deck.
That's what I'm talking about, Bobby. Common sense is winning over.
I found a link that someone has a 1 terabyte save file, whatever. You could download everything on that bad boy.
Anything you are...
Unbelievable. Even has Xbox Game Pass on that. I had no idea.
Yeah, you can play Xbox Game Pass on it. You can also play...
I'll tell you something. The Switch, once I get the Steam Deck...
It's game over. The thing's collecting dust.
For those not viewing the audio, viewing the video and having the podcast, Bobby just did probably one of the coolest exit left throws I've ever seen of a Switch in my life.
Ninja Star.
Ninja starred an OLED. He
and it with the peace sign on the flip.
Yeah. So
he threw another one just a mark.
So we got a three-way tie, gentlemen, between Blasphemous 2, Red Dead Redemption on the Switch, and The Quarry.
Well, how many people voted for Blasphemous 2?
I think that was just you, Bobby.
Oh, just me.
All these were just single nominees. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. Each one of y'all has the 15 seconds to convince the other the others of your vote. Blasphemous 2, Bobby. Here you go. Give us the pitch.
It's like an R-rated Castlevania. Has really sleek control styles. There's lots of blasphemous imagery on the screen. I actually love the boss battles. Very intense. It's like a Dark Souls, 2D Dark Souls, Metroidvania. I mean, you can't beat it. It's an unbelievable game. Music is beautiful.
Okay. Ooh. The Quarry. RGT, you're up.
I think this is them getting back to their best, a bit like Until Dawn. It's got that great horror movie B style, you know, great graphics, quite like the characters, some famous people in there, and in a group of people. It's a great game to play with a few of you.
Okay. And Red Dead Redemption, the Switch version. George, you're up.
If you've ever played a game on the go, you're probably half testosterone count. If you've ever played Red Dead on the go on a Switch while riding a horse backwards, only then do you know what it feels like to be a cowboy. Probably one of the best cowboy simulators out there, probably dwarfing its sequel that appeared on PS4 many years ago. This upgraded, refreshed, I'm selling here, Seb. Doesn't have to be the truth.
My bad.
Repolished and re-released version of Red Dead on the Switch, confirmed by Digital Foundry to be equal to or outperforming its PlayStation Xbox brethren. Therefore, ergo, as a technological marvel alone, we should all stand around this like Mount Rushmore. Not Mount Rushmore. That's
the longest
15
seconds ever, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Mount Rushmore's the sort of thing you would get on your face if you slipped in the public changing rooms of the swimming baths.
Okay. So we all gave our I think it's your job now, Seb, to pick it since we all voted. Right.
Yeah, that's why you're wearing the dicky bow. You're up on the stage in the Methodist chapel in Farmington, and there's three people in front of you, and Mumsy.
All right.
And Ray.
All right, so I'm going to be a little bloodthirsty here and eliminate Red Dead Redemption on the Switch only because it's the worst version of the game, and it's also an old game at this point. I love Red Dead Redemption; it's one of my favorite games of all time. But the Switch version, I can't condone. All right, Blasphemous 2 and The Quarry. George, you're now a part of the voting panel because your game's been eliminated.
Oh, no, we should have laughed then. I know what's happening here.
Yeah, I like it. I eliminated him so he can get his revenge. So,
I wasn't laughing at you, George, to say that.
You were. You were a good friend. Therefore,
let's bring the banhammer down on the quivel, because
I agree. See, I'm going Blasphemous 2 as well.
Yeah, I think, do you know what, if OG Tom was on the show, he would be instructing it to be Blasphemous 2, a game that he downloaded and loved, and speaks very highly of. So if anyone's going to cast the deciding vote, who'd have thought it was OG Tom?
Okay. All right. So next up, we have a three-way tie for sixth place as well. With
it's amazing.
EAFC 24, Final Fantasy 16.
Sports games winning this.
Final Fantasy 16 and a little indie called Slay the Princess. So I nominated Slay the Princess. RGT has nominated Final Fantasy 16, and EAFC 24 was nominated by Bobby. Ooh. Which means, George, it is up to you to be the moderator for the sixth and final, the sixth spot here.
I might need to let my cat out.
Yeah. Nobody else voted for EA 24?
No, absolutely
not. Hang on.
Not.
Wow.
Absolutely not. I think, let me see. If it did, I'd automatically give it up to EA 24, but no, nobody.
The reason I didn't add that in, actually, Bob, is because I haven't actually played enough of it. I've just started this week getting right into my career mode. I think otherwise, though, I probably would have done, because it is one of the games that I spend quite a lot of time on every year. So I think if I'd have spent more time with it, I probably would have voted for that.
Yeah. But you didn't. Instead, you voted for Final Fantasy 16.
Yes.
Well, one of these sort of installments displayed some innovation. One of these installments broke free from convention this year and changed things up a little bit compared to how things were done historically. One of these games, when it went back to its roots to really focus on what made people interested in it in the first place, sort of speak to the OG fans and get them to come forward on a franchise that's starting to stutter and
I know where you're going with this.
Under the age of its systems and processes.
You are, dear me.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Some people wanted to feel that magic, like the magic they haven't felt since the original PlayStation.
Are you eliminating one, George?
Oh, Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. I mean, Final Fantasy hasn't been good since Final Fantasy 1 on the Nintendo.
Whoa.
Seven wow. Included? X2? Wow.
That's boring.
Okay. All right. So RGT and George, you're the committee now. Bobby and I have 15 seconds to sail you on EAFC 24 or Slay the Princess.
Wow. Okay. I can't believe I've left EAFC in here.
I can.
Who's going for Seb, you go first and sell me on the concept of Slay the Princess.
All right, Slay the Princess is a point-and-click indie adventure game where you are a wandering traveler who's been told by a narrator that you have to slay the princess and in order to save the world. That you don't get any context of why you have to slay the princess. It is, you have to go in with a knife and you have to either talk to her and figure out why you are trying to slay her. You have to also free her, or you have to do the deed and slay her. It is almost like a roguelike in the sense that you are repeating the same actions, but getting different narrative choices and narrative experiences that complete an overall puzzle. and nothing is as it seems. And as every time you do one of these like runs, you meet a different variation of a narrator or like a person that is trying to convince you that that something is different than what it seems. So like there's a voice of despair, a voice of anger, there's a voice of like sorrow, and then there's the princess herself who's like, you know, she's either a supernatural horror villain or she's like a sweet, innocent, kind person. And it's up to you to decipher, like, is she indeed evil or whether or not like she is a victim of these circumstances. So it is a game that is like, I don't think I've played anything like this year. So that's why I'm championing this game.
It sounds interesting. And I got 30 seconds.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It sounds good though. EA 24, it's the world's game. Okay. The world plays football. This is the only time you can ever make Manchester good again, because it ain't going to happen in real life. So you can simulate it. They did a lot of changes this year, which I thought was better than last year's. Is it pretty much kind of the same game as 23? Yeah, but that's every sports game. It's a little bit better, hopefully, each year. And I enjoy the manager, the career mode part of it. That's what I've been playing the most. And the online has been fair. I haven't been trashed, and I haven't trashed anybody. I feel like they narrowed it down. They did a really good job with the balancing this year compared to last year.
Okay. A heartfelt and poignant story. But as you know, there can only be one sports winner in the Ponzi's.
Oh, see, yeah, your vote is all wrong.
If it wins.
Oh.
There might not be a sports winner this year.
Oh, there will be.
I don't think so.
I know
what I'm not going to vote for.
Yeah.
The most boring game in the world is not going to win over the world.
So let me help you out here. So that means Slay the Princess won.
RGT, what are you voting for?
I am actually voting for EAFC because, like I say, I haven't played as much as I would have done this year, hence it wasn't in there. But the career mode has had a good overhaul with your tactics and your new coaches you can hire. They've done a great job. And don't forget, this is the first year of the big FIFA name being dropped after the rather high cost they wanted. And they've just said, right, see you later, we'll carry on without you. And they've done a great job on that game. Really, so I'm voting for EAFC 20.
All right, so after the voting process and the appeal and the convincing process, we've still ended up with a tie. This is a two-game process. I'm just going to give it as a tie since it's two games.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
That's very reasonable of you. I wanted to see blood on the dance floor, Seb, but you willing to spare them, let them go.
Oh, there's going to be blood coming up at number four. So I'm like, that's the sauce I'm ready for. All right. So number five, though, we have a three-way tie between Diablo 4, Evil Wizard, and Lake. Lake was nominated by RGT, Evil Wizards by Sebastian, and Bobby has nominated Diablo 4. Before we begin, has anyone else played any of these games besides the nominators?
I've played Lake.
Okay.
Dull as dishwater, post simulator. To be fair, I'd rather play Truck and Logistics Simulator on the Switch.
Do you champion Lake?
I do not champion Lake.
Okay. All right.
He would have done if he hadn't said RGT put it in, but
I would have anyway. Lake's an interesting concept that I think fundamentally fails to deliver on its premise and promise.
Ooh. Okay. All right. So, George, you're also the moderator here because you have no dog in this fight.
Yes.
All right. Would you champion Diablo 4 then?
What's the third game?
Evil Wizard is just an indie game that I recommended. Or nominated, I should say.
Then I will, on that note, champion Diablo 4. I know it sucked up a lot of people's time, and probably a worthy winner of the position it's found.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. So number five, Bobby's nominations of Diablo 4 passes. Number four, the blood, what I'm calling probably the battle to end all battles, because this one is going to be an absolute bloodbath. We have four nominees.
Oh, God.
All four of us have nominated a different game. A different game.
Oh, come on. Revenge is sweet.
And it's also a high marker, because the games that were recommended were all of our number four nominees, I believe. No, it wasn't. A couple of them were different. All right, so here we got Dave the Diver, nominated by Sebastian. We have Liza P, nominated by Bobby.
Oh.
MLB The Show 23, nominated by George.
Good.
And we have The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, nominated by RGT. So, gentlemen, before we begin the bloodbath,
would by being here, let me help you out a little bit by falling on my sword slightly. This technically then at fourth position is the highest rated sports game.
Yes, easily.
So let's discount him, move him to the side, and let Sony San Diego know that they can have the Mummy Mummy sticker on their box, the Ponzi sticker. MLB best sports game of the year 2023.
I know, so your votes have to have a little award separately, whereas mine just getting dumped down.
Yeah, but how can it be? But how can it be the best sports game on the Ponzi's if RGT seconded it? Well, EA's
FC only managed to get
two votes
to fifth.
Two votes.
Whereas this, we're fighting about the, or sixth, and we're fighting about the fifth position here. Fourth position here.
Fourth
position. It's already further up the league. I don't know how American sports work, but normally the person at the top of the table wins and the person sort of halfway up the table doesn't win.
I mean, yeah, I guess to be fair, we could put the best sports game nobody played. Yeah, put it on there.
I also did play MLB The Show, by the way. I did also play it. I didn't nominate it, but I did also play it. All right.
Can you put it the best sports game and the most boringest game awards?
Okay, I'll add that as an asterisk.
Bobby, what can I say to you? To MLB The Show is everything that you hate about baseball got rid of. It's quick. It turns around in 20 minutes. You can play any position on the field. It's a realistic simulator. And the road to the show, which starts to feel a bit creaky, almost has a nostalgic vibe to it, where it's not weighed down with the, oh, can you sponsor this new Athlete's foot powder next time you play sort of drivel. There's none of that going on.
Anyway, just get rid of it.
I was about to say, hey, George, you won best sports game of the year. So it got
what
his,
else can I his, win it? Best game.
Got his, oh, it's got his flowers. It's got his flowers. So I need. So you are also moderating this one, as now we have Dave the Diver.
Yes.
Lies of P, and then The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom here.
Oh, wow. I wonder what George is going to throw out.
Before George says his piece here, does anyone else would like to second or champion any of the other games besides their own nomination?
Well, I've also played Tears of the Kingdom.
Okay.
I thought it was great. Why wasn't it on the list? It's probably my mistake.
Okay, so
that's so honest, Bobby.
That is really honest. So would you like to sacrifice Liza P in order to move Legend of Zelda to the fourth spot?
No.
Okay. All right. So, as honest as it was, did not matter.
He's like a smiling assassin, Bobby, isn't he?
Oh, just like this.
I mean, because in reality, like I said, it's my mistake. I completely forgot about Tears of the Kingdom, and I could have put that as number six instead of Super Mario RPG. But
if you completely forgot about it, maybe it's because it's forgettable. Is that what we're?
I wouldn't say that. I just think that it was just. It felt to me like just a very long, extended version DLC.
Okay.
I think that's a fair accusation to be leveled against Tears of the Kingdom. As good as it was, it wasn't as innovative as the first game. Liza P, you could say, is sort of swinging off the goodwill of From Software, but delivering something a little bit different and innovative on its way. Dave the Diver,
nominated at the Game Awards.
I'm intrigued. Hang on, Bobby's seen.
He does have a point. Angle. He does
He's
have a point.
An angle. So in a year which brought us, access to Vampire Survivors in a year that brought us Dredge. It's a year that sees Dave the Diver win Best Indie, therefore saving it from the bloodbath.
Hold on. Technically, Lies of P is an indie game, too.
Oh, really?
Technically. I'm like, if we're going to be technical, I'm like, it's a big budget indie, but I'm like, it's a studio that hasn't put out anything you've heard of, really, right? This isn't a FirmSoft game, keep in mind.
No. Did you play Lies of P?
I played Lies of P, but I'm not a Souls-like person. I'm like, I dive into it to see what the hype is about, but it, like, I didn't finish Bloodborne, and to me, Lies of P felt like an indie version of Bloodborne, which is a very good thing, because Bloodborne is a sensational game. It's just, it's not my genre.
Okay. Well, with that extra dose of information...
Well, on the flip side... Is this the only best, well, it's not really.
Lies of P, unless you want to fight for Lords of the Fallen, could be best Souls-like game.
Oh.
Yeah, see, I got a problem here. Because the only reason, for me, the only reason why I'm asking is because, I mean, Lords of the Fallen was multiplayer. So me and my stepdad played this game through the beginning to the end together. And I thought the co-op for... how they did co-op in Lords of the Fallen was the best of the Souls-like genre. Wasn't weird like every other co-op that From Software has.
Hold on. Bobby, before you continue with your point, I do think I have another like point to bring up here. And that is Tears of the Kingdom could be best Switch game of the year. We can knock this off the list, Bobby, right now, and put, because Tears of the Kingdom is the only Switch game
remaining. No, because we've got Red Dead Redemption.
we threw that away, man. I tossed that left field, bro.
I know, but if we're doing best Switch game, I'll go back in the bin, I'll pull it out, I'll just off the mince pie and the crumbs, and I'll bring it forward. Look at this.
No, that's only the street in New York.
Get your hair in a side party.
Okay.
But I played Tears of the Kingdom. I thought it was, yeah. I mean, I could do that.
So, Bobby, is that your favorite Switch game you played this year?
By far.
Okay. RGT, is that your favorite Switch game you played this year?
Hang on. What about John Marston?
Excuse me, he said RGT. Yeah, probably is, yeah.
Would you be willing to take this off the 10s if it got the top 10 list if it got rewarded as best Switch game of the year? Or would you like to see this go for glory as the fourth best game on the 10 list?
No, I'm happy with that. Best Switch game, definitely.
Okay.
There better be nothing else Switch higher up than this.
All right. So we got best Switch game of the year. Going to Tears of the Kingdom. Here's the question, Bobby. Do you want to champion Lies of P and have it, and we can duke it out between Lies of P and Dave the Diver? Or are you okay with just having a tie there?
I can have a tie there. I mean, it's two totally different games.
Yeah, it's a good tie.
It's not even like, you know, the same style.
Okay. I'm okay. We got a tie there. Okay, so our fourth game, title winner, I guess, would be Dave the Diver and Lies of P, tied for fourth place. In third place, our last tie, and the one that I'm very interested in, because RGT now gets to have Payback. He is the moderator now.
Oh, yeah.
And what might be the biggest and baddest tie of them all.
Really?
Nominated at number three by George Anno 1800.
I feel so chuffed.
With 10 points, it is his number one ranked game of the year.
Wow, 10 points. It is the number one ranked game.
With 10 points. Ooh. With 10 points, also, Bobby's number one ranked game of the year, ooh, Lords of the Fallen. And then with my number one ranked game of this year, with 10 points, we have Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, wow.
And it is up to RGT to moderate.
Wow. Sell it to me, boys. Let's start with George.
I have some interesting questions.
Okay, go ahead.
RP, Baldur's Gate 3 is technically the only like real RPG, like turn-based RPG.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. It's the only RP. Well, Lords of the Fallen technically is an RPG.
Yeah, but it's action. Like, it's not like turn-based. It's a totally different style. Right? Totally different.
So what we got here, Anna.
What it is, I don't like
the real winner. So we just need to decide what stuff we're dropping.
Okay, hold on, guy. hold on, guy. So only because I don't like turn-based. I don't like turn-based at all, right? However, I did download the trial.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was interesting how they did it. So I was actually going to buy it and actually play it, which would be the first time I played like a turn-based, besides Super Mario RPG. I'm talking about like
a turn-based.
Like,
yeah.
RPG. So, I mean, technically we could have a two-way here, couldn't we? Like we have on the others.
I don't want any of this pineapple nonsense from you.
So right. Just be quiet.
Hold on, I'm in the vote here.
So if you all have 15 seconds to sell a game to me, and I'll delete one game and we'll leave two as a joint for the place, if you like.
I will say Baldur's Gate 3 is winning game of the years everywhere.
Even I know that Anno must be sacrificed.
We could make
it RPG of the year.
This is
It needs another side trophy.
This is the game though that dethroned Tears of the Kingdom. Because when Tears of the Kingdom came out, everyone thought that was immediately game of the year.
Mm-hmm,
Baldur's Gate, it was the game that made everyone forget about Tears of the Kingdom. The sequel to what a lot of people consider the best game of the last generation.
I mean, I don't even play this, and it got me hyped to Baldur's try the trial.
Sequel to Anno. Like,
oh, he tries, doesn't he? Bless him.
What is Anno? Is Anno like a strategic type of style game? What is this?
Yes. It's a RTS, right?
It is.
Is it the only RTS on the list?
Oh, I see what you're doing here.
Yeah, anyway, RTS, look.
Do you know what? I would take RTS of the year for Anno 1800 and think that it was a very, very good year for Ubisoft.
Right.
And it was an Ubisoft game?
Really?
It is, yeah.
Wow.
They have a bunch of downloadables content, right? You could do stuff with Anno. I saw a bunch of stuff on the PlayStation Store. I could have sworn
did you buy it? You should have bought it.
No, I just remember when I saw it, I thought of you.
That's amazing.
Ubisoft swims in sevens, man. I swear they put out the most 7 out of 10 games this year.
It's a 9 to 10 out of 10 games.
They're killing it, though.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Therefore, it wins RPG. Okay, so if it wins RPG of the year,
RTS of the year, right?
RTS of the year, it's gone. So, but it bound out the biggest form of grace in this battle, which gives me equal voting rights.
And what are the options again?
I want to be spicy here. Like, we already got so many ties here. I think we should go see who gets his third spot now.
I think. What are the options again?
We have Lords of the Fallen and Baldur's Gate 3 now, because Anno is the RTS.
We're expanded. You know, Jeff's got categories. I want categories.
Did you play Lords of the Fallen?
Yeah, for your games.
Did anyone play Lords of the Fallen or no?
I'll admit, I did not get around to Lords of the Fallen this year.
I didn't play Lords of the Fallen either. And therefore, two of you have slightly played Baldur's Gate. Therefore, ergo, it should win. And we can retain some credibility.
Well, not really. I just played the trial. Like, it got me.
Don't ruin it, right? That's the trial. It's like a Dungeons & Dragons trial. You had to go and, like, prove yourself the mighty warrior.
And this is tied for the second best game of the year?
Third.
Jesus, Lord.
There's no tie for the remaining two spot.
Wow.
I was shocked. There's no tie, but the first two slots are like definitive.
I don't know, man. The reason why it's hard for me is because the sentimental value of the Lords of the Fallen.
I understand that.
If I probably played that solo, I would probably still enjoy it, but it wasn't for me. Wouldn't have been that much of an enjoyable experience if I put it alone.
I will say,
I thought Lies of P was a better, you know, of the Souls like.
I will say, Bobby, you do have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games of your list made the list right now.
Let's give it to Baldur's Gate.
Yes. All right. So Baldur's Gate 3.
That's what advances. A gentleman looks like. He's willing to sacrifice his game. He's not even willing to give it a secondary tertiary award. He just killed it. That's what a real man looks like.
All right. So next up in our second spot, our silver place winner is none other than Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Oh, that really? That just feels crooked.
Yeah.
Star Wars Jedi Survivor. And the reason being is because Bobby nominated it as his 5th game.
No.
What's up?
I put it at 7th.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Let me make sure. Yeah, you're right. 7th. Ranking 7th game. Sorry. It was right at 5 on the spreadsheet. Sorry. So his 7th game, and then George had it as his 4th game.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So it feels dirty, but George, you're the reason why this game advances.
That's why you chair the Ponzi's, because you're not going to get swayed by anybody, and you're going to call us out for our behavior. And that's what I like about this. So it wins silver, but it also wins best licensed game of the year.
I would say that, yeah. Best licensed game of the year.
Let's give it another award.
Hold on. Let me do this before.
It doesn't win best licensed game of the year because there's something on the list that we haven't heard.
The number one spot is Marvel's Spider-Man 2.
It wins game of the year.
It wins Game of the Year, the UCP Game of the Year, because it is RGT's number one game this year. It was George's 3rd ranked game of this year. At that point, it was already, you know,
technically my highest rated, because anything that outscored that.
But I haven't played it, so who knows what it could have been on my list, you know?
And it's my 5th ranked game this year, so it was on 3 top 10 lists.
Yeah.
So 3 top 10 lists, and it was in like 5 and above for all of us. So that's not bad.
Not bad at all.
So with a total score of 25 cumulative points, the highest total this year, Marvel Spider-Man 2 wins. So does it also win Best Licensed Game of the Year?
I mean, it has to.
Yep.
I mean, by that, it does. Best licensed game and game of the year.
Okay.
And best PS5 exclusive.
Game of the year, best PS5 exclusive. Yeah. It gets 3 Ponzi's, huh?
So how many PlayStation games were on this?
Give me 1 second and I can tell you that total.
Because we could do best of if you wanted to now. Let's see.
So it's got best licensed game of the year, game of the year. It also has best PS5 exclusive of 2023.
Wow, this is amazing. I love this.
So Nintendo Switch,
I just think how we do it is so unique. I just love it.
It's perfect. Zelda won Switch game of the year. Spider-Man won PlayStation game of the year. Hi-Fi Rush won Xbox Game of the Year, which I think works out really well. MLB won Sports Game of the Year, which is probably the best, second best scenario of the day. Best scenario of the day was Anno winning RTS of the year.
Yeah.
You got to recognize then, quality.
What's best indie?
Right now you have a choice. Vampire Survivors, Dave the Diver, Lies of P, technically Slay the Princess,
Drake.
Anything, almost everything I'd recommend. And then like also,
that's harder to decide than anything else.
It really is. But
the only thing I played, I guess that's indie is Lies of P, and I don't know if Lords of the Fallen is a big company. I don't know what I never
Lords
heard
of the Fallen is a big company, and this is also the third installment. Like third installment, like that they were actually like funded by another company this time around.
Okay. So that's out.
So no. And then technically, you know, there's this big controversy on whether or not Dave the Diver was indeed indie, because it was like there was money funneled from the same people who made like the Saints Row games before they closed down. So I can omit Dave the Diver if you want to give Lives of P the best indie game of the year.
Ooh.
Mm. Over Vampire Survivor.
Well, see, I never played Vampire Survivors.
Oh, it's so good.
Bobby, you would love
really
it.
Good.
It's even got really Castlevania good. DLC now, has it not?
No, that's Dead Cells.
I thought this did as well.
Oh, I don't know about the Castlevania DLC, but I know Dead Cells did for sure this year. But
ooh, it's tough, man.
Well, it's on your shoulders, Bobby.
Before we do best indie game of the year, can I bring another category to the table here?
Yeah. Best baseball game of the year?
We already got that wrapped up. Best remake of the year.
Oh.
Because this to me is interesting. Best remake of the year, because technically
so MLB could have been the remake of last year's MLB game, so it's in the mix.
I would just say best reoccurring game at that point, but like we have Red Dead Redemption the Switch version, which if you want to call it remake / remastered awards, you can do that. But then we also have a little known game of Super Mario RPG.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, listen, I bought it for that one reason. I mean, I had it on the NES, I still have it, but I don't know. I guess because it's, you know, I got hit with a nostalgia.
I would say based on the amount of effort that's been put in, Mario needs to win that.
It hit me, yeah.
Yeah.
Best remake. Wow.
And we also, I also want to give a shout out here, you know, like, it's crazy how stacked this year is, because like there's so many games that people are probably like, when this episode comes out, would be screaming at us like, man, Street Fighter didn't make this list. Like Starfield didn't make this list. Like, oh my goodness. Like, yeah, like there's so many. RE4 did not make this list.
Wow. True.
RE4.
The only horror games that made the list would technically be Blasphemous and Dredge.
Quarry.
I'm not a horror person, but I'm shocked none of y'all got into Alan Wake. Alan Wake 2 didn't make this list.
I have it. I have it wrapped up. I haven't played it. Because you know why?
I'm saving it.
Because Diablo took 567 hours of my time. And Lords of the Fallen took another 166 hours, bro.
What about Dead Space didn't make this list?
They took... I didn't play it. Yeah. Wrapped up in plastic, see? It's like, next year might be my horror. Who knows? Like...
Metroid Prime Remastered, Pikmin 4. I'm just talking about some games that kind of just didn't make the list, but yeah, this has been an incredible year. Before we go though,
but you know what though, we have all unique styles of gaming and games we pick.
Yeah,
so our awards are always going to be different, which is why I think it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because look at all the heavy hitters we left out.
Yeah.
I
and the crazy thing is like, Bobby, you're right, because like, RGT, George, and you are like backlog people, so to speak, especially like RGT loves backlogs, and George evidently is playing all the games that Switch left him by the first go around. So I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of Switch games end up on his list next year. And
I try to play the games I buy in order, but then if something else jumps out at me, I'll jump that list, but then I go back. So it's very confusing for me. Like Spider-Man, I should have played right away. But I knew if I started that, I probably wouldn't finish Diablo. And I had a mindset.
Yeah. Yeah. I do want to do something here that since we have listed all these listed out, I want to propose to you gentlemen, the UCP Hall of Fame. the UCP Ooh. Hall of Fame. Mm. Is there any game in this year that you think should be nominated and then it needs to be seconded to enter in all Hall of Fame?
from our list that we picked?
Yeah.
So like
Finn's getting in the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Does our game, does Spider-Man 2, do you think, deserve to be in the UCP Hall of Fame?
Based on that, on the score that it won and its position, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Question.
Okay.
That's how we should always do it then. The highest scoring game, regardless, should get the Hall of Fame vote.
Yeah, or should it be most awards?
Yeah. Oh, no, I think highest scored game, because that'll be because it's so unique, because we all, like I said, we all play different games, different
times, different styles. It's one that's been on all our lists.
It's rare that we would have one game with the most points.
Mm. Here's the thing, because the reason I brought this up is because, like, going back to last year's list is an interesting concept, because if we're doing it like that, God of War Ragnarok scored 24 points as well, the same exact number this year as Spider-Man 2.
Wow. Really?
Mm. The same exact number, 24-24, with also three nominations. Are those two our first entrance into the Hall of Fame?
I think that based on that, that makes sense. That's what we should do.
Yeah,
I've got one last thing to throw in here.
Now, what was the year before?
This is the second year.
Second year
doing this.
I think we did the Ponces before, but knowing you and me, Bobby, if me and you were in charge, probably something like, I don't know,
written on the back of an old Chris Pack.
PS2 won the Ponces.
All right, I like it.
I also want to state this. This is like an interesting little tidbit here. Like, Marvel Spider-Man 2 this year scored 24 points. The next runner-up was Jedi Survivor at 11 points.
Ooh,
that is the biggest deficit we've had, because last year, interesting enough, like last year, it came down a little bit closer, because God of War Ragnarok was 24 points. Horizon Forbidden West was 19 points. Elden Ring was 18 points. The Last of Us Part 1 was 17 points. And even Gran Turismo 7 scored more than our second place winner at 14 points.
Well, we've been spread thin this year, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've been spread thin. Well, that's the main part of the Ponzi's done. And thank you to MC Seb for stepping in. He's organized the numbers. He's the statistician. He's made it happen for us. But one man who wanted to be here at the Ponces at the Methodist Chapel in Farmington, Ray, wanted to be involved. Now, looking in the boot, there's nothing in the boot. I've already checked. But he whispered in my ear, he said to me, "You're allowed one wish." So we're all going to have to rub him. I'm going to rub him in his crotch area. "What's this growing here? Oh, my God, Ray." Bursting out of his trousers. "Oh, look out. It's his son, Wayne. It's okay. This is legal. It's not what you thought. Okay. Wayne is holding an envelope. In the envelope is this. One game you'd wished you'd played that you can take home with you today."
Oh, now, I love this.
Sting, Wayne, my little mate, you're a child. That's why you're small. I'm not against half people. I'm going to pick Baldur's Gate 3. Game I wish I'd played this year that I'd like to take home with me today. RGT, rub Ray wherever you want to rub him and then tell me what you see. I saw a protruding, rigid-looking Wayne. What did you...
I do believe
he refers to him in moments like this. Ray calls him Lil Wayne. RGT.
It's Sorry, I'm back.
Oh, look out. He's got a novelty God. Candy Santa for a hat. Why don't you have a little suck on little Wade?
Stop.
Tell me, what's the game that you didn't play that you wish you could take home? Seb's like looking at the time. He's looking at his balance of his checking account, and he's like, I'm worth more than this.
I gotta get on the phone with my agent.
Seb, can you just quickly run through the sort of the top five of the list again? I've got a game in mind, but I can't remember what the others were. I know there's one.
You can't remember any games anymore?
No.
For sure. Number 10, we had Hi-Fi Rush. At number 9, we had Vampire Survivors. At number 8, we had Hogwarts Legacy. Number 7 was Blasphemous 2. Number 6 was a tie between Slay the Princess and FC24. Number 5 was Diablo 4. And then Lies of P and Dave the Diver both tied at number 4. And then Baldur's Gate and number 3. Number 2 was Jedi Survivor. And number 1 was Marvel's Spider-Man 2.
It was Dredge I really wanted to play. I've got that game and I need to get around to playing that. But I think I'm probably going to agree with George and go Baldur's Gate 3.
So good. It is.
I know
good.
So many people have played it and everyone raves about it. And it's not normally, it's a bit like George of the Wrestling Empire. It's not my sort of game at all, but it's just one of them games I just think you just need to jump in because it's that well regarded. So yeah, Baldur's Gate 3 for me, I think.
Okay. Bobby.
Yeah, I heard that because I have the games I wanted already or going to get them from Christmas. I might just get this myself.
Okay.
Because I found it quite interesting, actually.
Okay,
it's so good.
It's your chance to upset the apple cart. Give Sting a quick rub. Careful, because Wayne gets excited. Dudes like this is liable to spit.
I swiped like a credit card, and that game came out. So, yeah, you know, butt crack swipe.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
The crazy thing is, I don't know. I think I've played all the major AAA games this year, as far as like at least. Dabbled in them, except for like Lords of the Fallen, and you know, I stand corrected. I think I played most of the AAA games, but I don't, you know, the crazy thing is, it's like I don't know if I'm compelled to either go back to anything or like I don't feel like I missed anything, you know, like I'm not really sure because I don't think there's anything that I missed that feels like, oh, I need to go back.
I don't want
to
put you on the spot here, but Wayne's choking on something. You better help him get it cleared out.
Okay. If I'm forced to at any given point, I want to go back and redo Cyberpunk's Phantom Liberty expansion.
You got him in a full Heimlich, burp, and he spat out that. Okay.
I almost like want to do another playthrough of Baldur's Gate 3, if I'm being honest.
So the Ray surprise is Baldur's Gate stroke. Whatever it was you just said.
Phantom Liberty.
That's
Cyberpunk
it.
Phantom Liberty.
The Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty, which deserves a place here because we had Burning Shores propping up the list at the beginning. And I wish I'd played, because looking at what it's done to the Cyberpunk game that I played all those years ago,
it looks like a
completely different
when you're inside
game.
Pan Am.
When I'm wearing Pan Am like Sting wears Wayne, that was a pretty horrific looking image.
It's a different beast. But since we were talking about other things that we kind of wish we had played a little bit more, like I am almost done with the RoboCop game, and I've been pleasantly surprised with that.
That was my other idea to steal from Sting's crotch was RoboCop Rogue City. I thought that is something I want to get into that over the Christmas period, if I'm being honest.
It is. It's pleasantly good. It's like it reminds me of the AA games of the 2000s, to where like don't expect a 10 out of 10 because you're not going to get it. But if you just want to like shoot up some stuff and then have some fun with like an IP, it's a good game for that. It's like, I would I wish they kind of had the same budget that Ubisoft obviously had with the Avatar game that just came out, like Frontiers of Pandora, because like if they had that same budget, this could be easily be a Game of the Year contender.
The only danger with that is it might lose some of its... I feel like with the way this game's been put together, it's because of the way it's been put together, it retains some of that RoboCop-iness, the glitchiness, the kind of a little bit brokenness of it. And I know that speaks ill of a game, but I do believe it adds to the mystique and mythos.
Also
of
like
RoboCop
10 hours.
Rokes.
Yeah, it's you do have a point, though. It is part of its charm because like... Because this feels low budget, it also feels like it's paying homage to the RoboCop movies of the 80s. So, so I'm like, it does have that flavor to it. So, yeah, it's definitely one you should check out if you like the IP, though. And like Bobby just said, it's like 8 to 10 hours. And especially if you like just mow through the mainline quest and storyline, you can get through that in like 6 hours. So, it's a fun time.
So, the honorable mentions, a.k.a. Sting's crotch rockets, are Baldur's Gate 3. And are you going to throw Cyberpunk in or are you going to go with RoboCop?
I'm going to say Cyberpunk, though, because Cyberpunk is one I know I need to probably do a lot more in. And RoboCop, I can find, we finish tomorrow morning.
So going forward, Sting's special award will be known as the Sting's crotch rocket.
I like it.
What's
the logo?
Bobby.
It's like a picture of a scorpion and with like a crotch rocket as a tail.
Get on it, Luigi.
Yep. Well,
I want out a t-shirt by next week.
They're about 3 inches long.
I do want to ask, you know, like, I don't want to be super negative here, but I do want to see if we can give out an award here for like game we were most disappointed in this year.
Oh yeah, bro. My award goes to Callisto Protocol.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah,
that is a very good one.
Mine's Horizon Call of the Mountain.
Oh, yeah. That's another good one to be disappointed in. Do you have one?
I can't think off the top of my head. I'll let you go. I'll have a think.
And then we should do
our
personal favorite, maybe. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I do have one. Starfield for me.
Mine was exactly Starfield as well. Mm. So disappointed.
Yeah.
Really?
So what are we going to call this award?
Most disappointed.
Most disappointed.
Oh, we got to do something crazy, bro. Do something English, man. Let's do something English.
Is there a soccer team that like that always? Slang,
what
like,
about
bro,
this? Last
makes
pick,
the playoffs,
last
but
pick
loses
at sport at PE. Last pick at PE.
Yeah.
I love it. That's great.
Last picked at PE.
It's like the
relegation.
Relegation. Relegation is like
relegation.
That soccer term, right?
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
that from
let's
Ted
do
Lasso.
It. Okay. Let's put the American spin on it. Let's call it relegation, which based on the UK league scenario. I like it.
You're out of here.
So Starfield, based on the two votes it gets,
that
wins
one.
The regulation award.
And then you want to do our personal favorites from this list?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Or just your personal favorites of the year? Yeah.
So I was going to pick one.
One, like the Highlander. Yeah, this is the Highlander award.
I'm going to have to go with Diablo 4. It took most of my time to do it. And even though I was getting like aggravated with the grinding, the time spent with my stepfather was absolutely hilarious and memorable. So I got to go with that.
Okay. RGT?
You probably won't agree with this, George, but it's very close, actually, and you'll be surprised for me, between Spider-Man 2 and Lake. I loved Lake. Really, the story just—I don't know—it just clicked with me. I loved that game. PG. I have no F bombs on here, son. Our leader.
I've let myself down. I've let the team down.
So he'll have disciplinary action. We'll deal with him separately. Anyway, but I will probably go with Spider-Man 2.
All that preamble, you went with that.
Yeah, it's very close, very close. But Spider-Man 2, fantastic.
George, what did you think of Spider-Man 2?
I'll give you my humble opinion. It's taken Spider-Man 1 and the advancements made with Miles Morales. It's not done anything profound or ground-shaking, to be honest, and I did feel like the story was a weaker element of it compared to the previous two games. But generally what it did is it refined the whole system, all the systems down. Web-swinging was more enjoyable, and everything hit well. So therefore, it's a good game, but because it's a sequel or a tertiary sort of installment, it kind of loses some of that wow factor for that reason, and therefore it probably won't be remembered as favorably as the first or DLC type installment for that series.
Okay. I was curious because, like, have any of y'all played Web of Shadows, like Spider-Man Web of Shadows back in the day?
Yeah.
No, I haven't actually played
PS3, is that?
Yeah. It's the one where...
With Wolverine in it?
Yeah, well, Wolverine, yeah. Luke Cage, mm-hmm. and all the other players where they have, like, Venom versions of those people.
Mm-hmm.
This game is that. The final third of that is basically Web of Shadows. And I was just like, huh. They copied the exact same premise from another game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like... Yeah.
I mean, you're 100% nailed it. Yeah, they really do. I didn't even think about that, man.
Like, where Venom basically takes over a whole entire city, and, like, there's Venom versions of everything that goes on in the city. And, like, they kind of did their own variation of the Web of Shadows video game.
Is there a Venom? In that game, is there a Venom with its hair up in rollers taking its dog to the bodega to get some maybe coffee or bread?
Bacon, egg, and cheese?
No, I can't say that there is, but... But yeah, there's a lot of different enemies in that one that is just Venom variations of enemies, basically.
Okay.
Also, I just got the official thump up from the neighbor below. The dance stall about to start, and we have 8 minutes.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Well,
what's your favorite?
Renting out your downstairs to a dance hall. That's on you. Seb, have you got anything to pick?
I think personal favorite would probably be Dave the Diver. I think that's a fantastic game. I think it has so much personality, so much heart, so much charm. I think it has probably one of the most addicting gameplay loops I've played this year, and I don't even think it's close. It's like the fact that you fish and basically hunt different fish using like harpoons and different weapons in the ocean, and then come back and like manage this cool like uptown sushi bar. Is like really unique, and they make everything in that game fun, and it's just the most pure fun I've probably had with a video game outside of Spider-Man 2 this year.
I actually want to try all these games we mentioned.
I've just written them all down. So
good. Yeah, I'm very curious. Yeah,
I'll put like the list in our chat as well.
Yeah, we should make a Discord thing so everyone can see our scores and everything, how breakdown. That'd be great.
Maybe a Hall of Fame that can stay on there. We can add to each year.
That'd be dope. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's move on as I rise up from the ground, challenging Lizzie Webb from TVAM, probably RGT's first ever fizzy, as we draw to the very end of the show. Bobby, what are you hoping to play over the festive period and out the back end of the Ponzi's?
Well, I have two little cheap $2 games. Santa, I don't know, Shoots Evil or whatever. And I have another Santa Claus Christmas theme game. I want to platinum those two games on Christmas because I do that every year.
Nice.
And then I have Spider-Man 2. I have games I don't remember in plastic. I'm trying to open up.
Alan Wake.
I have Alan Wake. I have, oh my God, so many things. And then I asked for Christmas stuff as well. So let's see. You know, if the surgery, when I get the surgery, I have time. I'm trying to get everything in. Everything.
Okay. I'll get to you in a moment, RGT. Seb, what are you hoping to play?
I just beat this game called Ebenezer's. You know, like it is a Christmas theme game.
You American crazy!
I love them.
Yeah, It's Ebenezer and the Invisible World is the game I just beat that was Christmas themed. But it's fun. It is a Christmas Metroidvania game where you are playing as like Ebenezer after the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future has visited him. And it turns out like another person is using the ghost power for evil, and he's twisting the world around you. And it's now up to you to go like hunt ghosts of like the past, present, and future to the, and like steal their powers and such like that to whoop this dude down.
What is this on?
It's on all platforms now. Ebenezer and the Invisible World.
Immediately.
Yeah. It's a bit of a challenging game, but as far as what I'm going to be playing, I'll probably be playing Cyberpunk, and I'm probably just going to jump back into Baldur's Gate 3 at this point, because like I played that game and beat that game and don't even feel like I scratched 10% of the surface of what Baldur's Gate has to offer. It is the first act alone I've put 40 hours into. Act 2 was about the same. Act 3 is about the same. It's like, and that's only with one class. And that's also not even like going through everyone's dialogues and everyone's story. And like, I made some people mad. So I'm like, some people have beef with me. Some people in my party love me. You know, like I can romance different people. This game is so good. It's Dragon Age, but it's also like the most layered down elements of Elden Ring, because Elden Ring is like, it's deep. It is not necessarily like you have this sprawling open world, but it's like everything beneath the surface. It's like Tears of the Kingdom's depths and like the skies and the depths, but it's all like condensed down into like this CRPG where every choice you do matters. You can talk to a goat in this game and that goat is going to have something impactful for you. Like, I kid you not, like you can go in a random barn and see their version of Wayne Ray and Mrs. Wayne Ray like doing something like naughty, and then all of a sudden like that person's challenging you to the death because you walked in on them. It's like there is so much layered things to happen. But like if you had talked to this dog outside of that location, the dog would tell you like, oh, don't go in there, bro. You're going to see something you don't want to see, and it's probably going to get you into like a life or death situation. Like, and you, unless you have a certain class, you miss that dialogue. And so I'm like, they think about every single thing with Baldur's Gate 3. So I'm definitely going to explore more of that.
Okay. RGT, you're not last because that's my turn, but you are not the forgotten, wrapped up container of insignia talc you thought you were. That's me. What are you hoping to play?
I did forget to add on what I have been playing, and we finished Vice City on Tuesday night on our live stream. So we've now done me and Bald Border. So we've done GTA 3. We've now done Vice City. We will be starting San Andreas in the new year. But we're just going to, we might carry on with one of our other streams on Tuesday, and we're going to be doing a special Christmas stream in the Christmas week, which will
Die Hard Trilogy.
Well, we'll see in the week.
We've got a game planned.
So, but anyway,
Bloody Funster.
I'll probably play some more of Assassin's Creed Mirage. I don't know how much is left after the prologue. 40% gameplay. So I'll play some of that. Probably some more EAFC. Now I'm getting back into my career mode. I've got Dredge to play. Yeah, I've got them stacking up at the moment. But yeah, there's plenty to play. But probably I've got to start Dredge because so many people say so many good things about that.
It's so good.
Yeah,
I've
got to get into that.
I actually can get it for free from the PlayStation points, whatever it's called.
Yeah. Mrs. RGT bought me a physical copy of it, bless her. So yeah. She's so good at picking games for me. She bought it a little while back, but I must get into playing that. So yeah, that's what I'm hoping to play. What about you, George?
Hoping to play
Anno?
No.
Please no.
Yeah. I've won it all, I can win it, and now I give up with it. No, I'll be playing some GTA 5, that big new game just come out. And I'll be playing
Please don't tell me there's a Switch port of that.
If only there was.
It probably runs at 20 FPS.
How dare you? Oh, the Switch only does that not to reveal its true power. and make the Steam Deck feel intimidated, because the Steam Deck would never be able to Wii in a cubicle next to him again after Switch had done that. So yeah, it's and I think if I get enough time, and I have got some time off coming up, the show has relinquished its vice-like grip from my throat. One would imagine I might try Baldur's Gate.
Yeah. Wow. Which on what platform? It's now on Xbox. As
on
well.
Switch. Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, the classic pack.
Oh, no.
You can't play 3 until you've played 1 and 2.
Come on, my boy.
I don't even think 1 and 2 can run on Switch.
Yeah, they can.
Oh, yes. Double pack. It's a double pack.
I did that classic kid thing of like seeing all the bigger boys talk about a game, and then you try and find the equivalent on Switch. Which
I mean, it's 3 frames per second, but it's on there.
Oh no!
Stop playing a flick book.
No, I'm done with it.
I haven't seen one of those in forever, man.
He brought me down to his level. Wow. I swore on air.
Memory. Don't you blame me for that F-bomb. That's not my fault.
Okay,
you
so
were talking absolute drivel.
What are you going to play Baldur's Gate 3 on?
The only thing I can play on PS5.
Okay.
I suppose I could play it on Series X, but that would involve going upstairs, and I don't want to do that.
That exercise is a beat.
You can't look like this, have a bag of 10-sided dice, and think about going upstairs to play a game. It's just not natural.
Can we give out one last award before the new year? Our most anticipated game for 2024.
Oh, most anticipated game.
What is coming out?
Alaskan Truckers, because it didn't come out this year. So Alaskan Truckers for PS5.
Yeah, can I? I'll just quickly. I'll just quickly read off a couple of games here, and you can tell me if any of these are your mummy. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mummy.
Okay, so you have Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown. You have Hollow Knight Silksong, Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, Tekken 8, Rugby 24, Grand Blue Fantasy Relink. Let's see, Suicide Squad killed the Justice League, Persona 3 Reloaded, Helldivers 2. You also have the Tomb Raider 1 through 3 Remastered Collection, Plate Up, Mario versus Donkey Kong, Skull and Bones.
Truckers.
Alaskan Truckers, Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth as well, and Princess Peach Showtime, Dragon's Dogma, Alone in the Dark, Rise of the Ronin, which is the team from Neo, the one that they keep showing off of the PlayStation Showcase game. Black Myth Wulong, the monkey game.
Yes.
Warhammer 40,000, and then Marvel's Wolverine.
Ooh.
Wolverine for me.
Yeah, Wolverine's going to have to do it for me.
Be interesting to see her in some next.
That's my boy. Mm. Actually, also possibly even Hades 2.
Hades 2, yeah. Right now it's right now it's early access, but they predict that it might be out by the end of the year.
But yeah, Wolverine for sure. Then if that's what'll come out. Yeah, I'll pick that. Wolverine.
I'm picking Alaskan Truckers.
So Alaskan Truckers, okay.
A Wolverine is the most anticipated game.
I think Wolverine's up there for me as well. Yeah.
Okay. Well. You haven't played Alaskan Truckers, obviously. It's coming to a platform. It's probably on Steam Deck already.
It probably is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been seeing all these Arbanic ads on TikTok and Instagram. Mm. And then I went to the comment section, and like way down the comments, someone was like, for another $100, just buy a Steam Deck.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I mean, I'm definitely thinking about it.
That OLED is nice, Bobby.
Yeah, no, they had an update, the guy was saying, and then there's a website, something arcade. He put like a 1 terabyte thing you could download to a 1 TB
SD card.
Yep. And then he's like, you have like everything you ever wanted, plus way more. So I'm very curious into this.
Tempted.
And then Bobby, if you also want to expand your hard drive, you can just take the back off and put a new hard drive in, and then it becomes 2 terabytes, 3 terabytes, 4, whatever you want to pay for. Yeah. You can't do that with Switch. You're stuck with that 64 little gigs that it comes with.
That's crazy. No, I'm really interested in this. I don't know if I'm. I mean, I've been thinking about it for a while. I might pull the trigger.
You won't be disappointed. It's the best handheld on the face of the planet at this point.
I mean, yeah. Technically, you could play a Game Pass.
You can play Xbox Game Pass. You can also play PlayStation Plus games. You can also play Switch games if you want to. Yeah, but like, yeah, the PlayStation Plus, as long as you have an extra, like a extra or premium one, not the the traditional one.
Okay,
but also if you want to stream it, it's also a PlayStation Portal because you can also stream either one. So you can to your PS5 on your Steam Deck. It is the perfect handheld companion now.
This is incredible.
And then there's the Switch.
It's going to be me and George, the Switch versus the Steam Deck next year.
That's an episode.
I have the Steam Deck as well, so I'll be fighting with you.
Okay. Well, with that all put to bed, gentlemen, I must thank you for an absolutely brilliant award ceremony. I'm going to...
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Slip out my dicky bow, relax my cocktail jacket just a little bit, turn to the stage of the Methodist Chapel because Debs Babs is going to do a turn of turn back time by Cher. Normally belts it out in the Wagon and Horses on the karaoke, but she's going free and solo this time. On completion of that, she's going to do the ping pong challenge for anyone who's been out to the Hispanic islands in the Mediterranean. I think we're in for a rare treat. Gentlemen, thank you very much. It's been a stupendous event. Thank you, Seb, for crunching the numbers and being the host with the most, as always, which has become your almost traditional role at the Ponzi's now.
Yes, you're a beautiful thing. Like the, beautiful thing.
Thank you.
The show's Jeff Keighley. You got all the famous friends and you still talk to us mere mortals. So we're lucky to have you. So we're glad. Bobby's brought some of that cherub energy. RGT's brought some of that.
Just move on.
The pound bland energy. RGT-ness.
Also, wow. People, we're coming down to the wire on the Fantasy League. So be tuned for that. The winner will be joining us in our official Fantasy League next year as well. And be on the lookout because the Fantasy League for 2024 is about to begin. Let us know if you want to take part of that in the UCP Discord.
And when do we announce the winner of that, Seb? Because that person will be joining us for our melee. They'll be joining our league.
I plan on, as soon as this year is officially up, we will honor the winner of this league, and then we will work with their schedule and try to get them on as around January in the new year.
For the podcast?
Yeah, we got to have him on them for the podcast.
That'd be awesome.
Well.
Yeah.
Who's in the hot seat at the moment? Who's potentially the highest?
Who's top three?
It's coming down to the wire between the top five at this point. So, yeah, it's very close. It's a tit for tat thing. But I'm like, yeah, at any given moment, you like any game, and also like the counter picks, whenever they start counting, could just change everything.
Because
there's so many counter picks that happened for games that haven't come out, that didn't come out this year. So, yeah, it'll come down to probably the last week of the year. It's that close.
Wow. You couldn't get much more exciting than that. Well, I need to go have a sit down, probably a cold bath. As I say once more time, gentlemen, thank you again for such an absolutely cracking day. I can't get over the Argentinus of it all.
Are you shell-shocked? What happened? Yeah.
You have to be careful.
I am a little bit.
Listen, just know that only on this podcast did Anno ever get an award. I mean, it's amazing. We made things happen here, you know?
Yeah, well, on completion, so we breached.
You should forget about that, bro. Your two favorite games got awarded.
Yeah.
Let them know.
I mean, we're living on a high, man.
A version of Anno out next year, we're...
Oh, no.
With the Mumsy Award, if I see a Game of the Year version of Baldur's Gate with Sting's crotch rocket on the front, I'm going to be absolutely.
We need to make little stickers and logos, and I want like a nice graphic chart of the winners, the ties, and everything. We have to talk to
that. We can then send out to the studio's PR departments and see if we can get them giddy at the thought.
That'd be, I'm sure, that'd be Anna would brilliant. Love to come on the show and accept their RTS of the year.
Yeah, award. We can't contact them. We should contact them.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Seb, I'll leave that in your capable hands. I've never seen a man deliver a crotch rocket before. We're about to find out. And that's all we have time for this week. Listeners, as always, thank you for your time. We look forward to the pleasure of speaking to you again next week. Until then, happy gaming. Remember, there's nothing wrong with being given the unofficial controller. It's what you do with it that counts. See you guys.
Later.
Bye.
Pack my overnight bag, Mumsy. I'm going abroad.